yak babies, sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by Heavy Cream. Chubby chasers and dairy devotees rejoice. My name's Aaron, here with personal pals Dave.
Hey, boys.
We have Brick.
Sounds like Dave's rejoicing.
Yes, and of course we have Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
Hello. Boys, we're checking in. It's time to hear about what we're reading. We do this periodically to see what people are reading lately. This has been about a month since we recorded last time, so I'd love to hear what you fellows are reading. Brick, we'll start with you. What have you been reading lately?
Well, we're on location. I don't have any of my books with me.
Oh my god.
But I have some notes.
Tell me all our secrets. Yes, we are in a secret Yak headquarters. This is our main location.
Not main without
Oh, yeah, right. Well, we have an outpost in Connecticut.
Well, no, it's not secret.
Yeah. Right.
It's secret to our listeners.
We're going to make our way to Vermont for the next recording.
Yeah, we have outposts across New England. We're working on the whole area, and then we'll be moving into the Mid-Atlantic region. Yeah.
And if anyone is wondering, Connecticut and Rhode Island don't count. All right, so I got a couple that I'm just going to mention. I'm not going to talk about because I don't need to, because they are throwaway books, and patrons will hear more about them in an upcoming game. So one was a book I found for $1 called Mindful Flatulence.
Okay.
Just a shitty humor book about farting. The end. had the kind of tone of a scholastic book, but not written for children. So that was fun.
Okay. The end, like that's the end of your list?
No, that's the end of what I want to say about that stupid
book. I was wondering why you had your notebook out for one.
No, my notebook is just for my
farting.
List.
It's just a draw.
No, I told you last time we met. I'm actually reading again. It's pleasant. And now I have another book called Does It Fart?
Okay.
And then listeners can
in the same
hear more about that book because we have a game with... No, just I just happened to find two. I bought Does It Fart on the internet when I learned it existed.
Of course you did.
And then I just stumbled on Mindful Flatulence for $1, so I bought it at Ollie's, which is a wonderful place. So we will play a game called Does It Fart in which we explore that book together.
Okay.
So patrons can look forward to that. And then I got three real books. One... And I'm sorry, I don't have author names, so I'll put them in the notes, but again, I didn't bring my books with me. I think Nico recommended this book, or maybe it was a Genderqueer by Maya something. Mm. It's a graphic novel.
Kobabe or Kobabe?
Kobabe?
K-O-B-A-B-E. I don't know how to pronounce it.
She's a graphic novel about a non-binary, sort of asexual young person.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of exploring whether or not asexual.
Right. Their pronouns are E. Air?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
E-I-R? I don't know how to pronounce
it
either.
But it was interesting. It wasn't particularly... I think it was you know, one of those books where you kind of follow along with a person and kind of... There's nothing new or exciting or challenging, but it's still really... It's like a positive book, you know? Like explaining their own...
Well, it's a book about...
There with it. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Air.
Air own... kind of experience exploring, you know, kind of how to navigate. I think one of the things that I found pretty interesting was they, I'm just going to say they because I don't know.
Yeah.
Were a little older than, like came of age in the 90s. And so that experience that's depicted there is more in line with my own kind of growing up, you know, age-wise. So I think it was interesting to see culturally what they navigated.
Yeah. It seemed to me like it's a simple book. It's not very complex, but it's just about the importance of representation because this person basically grew up and did not know that being an asexual non-gendered person was an option and was incredibly confused until they found that, and then they were like, "Oh." So the book is itself kind of trying to be that for another generation and kind of skip a lot of the decades of confusion that the author went through.
Yeah, and it's really focused on, you know, how to build your own kind of community around you. Like I said, it's pretty positive, and, you know, I think this person was lucky that they had, like a supportive family and network, and so that's kind of built up around, and then a lot of the challenge depicted, you know, have to do with kind of that conflict between identity and biology, right? There's a lot about how, like, you know, going to the gynecologist or, you know, managing a menstrual cycle was really impactful and things like that.
Right.
And the art's pretty good. So it was a pleasant read.
This is, we should address, this is the book that has caused a lot of the, or was the source of a lot of the book banning controversies in libraries
across the country. Oh, is it? That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, this is the book that basically got the current governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, elected.
Based entirely on the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's hardly any actual sexual content in this book.
Because, they don't even, they don't. Like
just talking about being scared of it, right? Yeah. Scared's not the word, but anxious. Anyway, very good. Worth a read. Not worth a book burning or a banning or that kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty ironic that it's because it is about
tame
the importance of representation and having books like this, and then it's the one that gets banned because it has the word queer in the title.
All right, and then the other two books are fiction genre. So one relatively recent. I'm sorry, I don't have the author's name. I think it came out a few years ago. It's called Road of Bones. Anyone heard of this? It was
Road of Tar or Road of Gravel.
Stephen King blurbed it on the front. It's a pretty scary book. And it was, so it's a horror kind of thriller, supernatural. It's about these two guys that are like wannabe like TV documentarians. Like they work for, they're like trying to pitch like a Ghost Hunters kind of show. So they go to this place in Siberia, which is a real place. It's called, it's got a Russian name. I don't know what the hell the real name is. It's colloquially known as the Road of Bones. And what it is this highway through like the coldest place on the planet that, you know, according to local lore and also very likely largely true, is just kind of littered with dead bodies because the gulags, the work they were doing was building this road in sub-zero temperatures, and when people died they just kept building right on top of them. So these guys are going to do a documentary, like a ghost hunters kind of deal on this supposedly haunted stretch of highway that goes through the Arctic Circle in Russia, they have a guide or whatever. And then there's some scary shit that happens there. There's this, it's called a Parni. It's like a, I don't know, they kind of describe it almost like a shaman. So there's like this supernatural, like wizard guy that comes out of the woods, and he has this sounds fucking stupid, but it's pretty good. These wolves that are like not all the way real. They kind of change form. It's described very well and like in a very spooky way where they're like shadows that move around and then they're wolves and then they're back to shadows kind of stuff. And they're basically chasing these people through Siberia. It's a pretty scary book. It's a pretty short book. I think it's less than 300 pages. It doesn't outstay its welcome. There is some incredibly gruesome stuff in it. I think it is better when it kind of moves between thriller and just straight horror. And it's better when it's in its thriller kind of, maybe thriller's not the right word, but it's better when there's a lot of tension as opposed to a lot of people getting devoured by ghost wolves.
Right.
But it's pretty, for a quick read, it's pretty good. I don't read a lot of horror books, but I enjoyed it. So that one's worth a shot if you kind of want something a little different. And then lastly, this is an older book from the 80s, The Years of Rice and Salt by Kim Stanley Robinson. Anyone ever heard of this guy?
Yeah, I've heard that name before.
Super long book that I started years ago and I put down and then I trucked through. It's an alternate. The structure is pretty interesting. There's tons of characters. It moves through. The whole book takes the span of a couple thousand years. And it kind of moves in sections through different eras. And essentially what it is an alternate history of the last 2,000-ish years, basically if Europe was removed from the picture. So the dominant cultures are largely Iran and China, and it goes from prehistory all the way to, like, the 80s, so, like, the dawn of, like, the electronic age, right? And it does a lot with politics and philosophy and religion and how things would be different, how if different cultures kind of came upon those same touchstones around technology, around, like, things like women's suffrage. And it's pretty interesting the way it handles that. I think it definitely has a 80s view of Islam, which in some ways doesn't feel as kind of maybe Islamophobic's not the right word, but doesn't feel as judgmental about Islam as it would if it was written in the post Iraq war era.
Yeah.
But then there's still a lot of, like, it gets to really focusing on basically matriarchy being a dominant form, and it seems to be trying to make some commentary on on Islam there. But it's weird. None of the there's tons of characters, and in between each kind of major like chronological section, there's like a bardo section where the characters all end up in the same bardo and kind of interplay a little bit. Those work a little better sometimes than others. It's not a book that the plot or the characters are all that interesting, but in the kind of aggregate, as you see, like, he does a good job of kind of making a culture be the driving plot of the book, which is not an easy thing to do, I don't think. So I don't know, it's not a book that's easy to recommend because it's so long and it's so kind of amorphous, but it was interesting. I don't think I'm going to read any more Kim Stanley Robinson. The writing's not particularly exciting.
Right.
It's a lot of characters talking about their religion or the science. You know, like, there's a whole section about astronomers in like the 1400s, you know, Constantinople or whatever. But still, it was, alternate histories are pretty cool when they're done in a way that's not super fantastic. Like, this felt grounded. It didn't ever feel like it was in the realm of fantasy. It felt like he was, you know, really trying to make a, like, what would things be like if it was different, right? I think probably the most interesting part was the colonization of America and South America. Like, the, I mean, colonization isn't the right word, but the sort of expansion of empires, you know, he depicted it as playing out a lot differently than happened in our own realities. So,
right,
interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah, sounds interesting for sure.
Yeah,
excellent. Nico, what about you?
I read a couple books, I guess, that were interesting. Two, weirdly enough, are two books this month for our book groups were both by Ghanaian authors. One was Mame, which is M-A-A-M-E. By Jessica George, and it's about a Ghanaian-British woman who lives in London and kind of has to balance, and grew up in London, has to balance her immigrant parents with, like, her life in London. I thought the side with the immigrant parents was very well done. The side with her, I was telling you guys about this a little earlier, the side with her social life is super weird, and it feels like she's a 12-year-old that's been dropped into a 25-year-old's body. She's never gone on a date. She's never kissed anybody. She doesn't know what DTF means. She's never tried green tea. She's like, she constantly has to Google things.
Right.
Just doesn't make any sense for a 25-year-old. Like, what have you been doing for the last 10 years? And she's supposed to be a little bit sheltered, but I don't know. It just made the whole thing kind of far-fetched and, like, a little too fluffy.
Yeah.
And then the other one was Homegoing by Yaa Gyasi. You guys heard of Yaa Gyasi at all?
No.
She's like a big new voice. I think this was maybe 2021. But anyway, so it's eight generations of, in 2016. All right, so not that new. Eight generations of these two Ghanaian families as they go. One of them, these two half sisters in the beginning, one of them marries a white guy, a slaver. And kind of has a comfortable life, and then the other one marries, is captured by an alternate tribe, and she, like, lives in Ghana and is, like, part of the slaves, basically. And then it follows them for eight generations. And I thought that was good, and it was, like, a good kind of premise for a novel, but it is 16 different POV characters in 300 pages.
Yeah,
so, like, each one is 20 pages, and it just feels kind of shallow at the end because you get so little, and so much of it is just like, this is my parents, you remember them from two chapters ago, this is my kid, you'll see them in two chapters, and then it, you know, it's constantly putting everybody in the family tree,
right,
and doesn't really have characters the same, like, the way that you would want,
right.
But of the two, I thought Homegoing was way better. And then I read the Kindred graphic novel. Have you guys ever read Kindred, or the graphic novel?
Yeah.
The Octavia Butler book.
Right.
I think she wrote it in the 70s, the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's about this woman who is in 1979, I think-ish, and she's married to a white man. And then every once in a while, she just gets seized by this force and sent back to slave times.
Right.
And that's it. It's like, and then she just keeps going back, and she has to keep saving this white guy, who turns out to be a great-great-great grandfather, and like she has to save him or she doesn't exist.
Right.
And then her husband comes back with her once, and then he has the kind of the tension of being a white guy who can, but if they get caught like kissing, then
right,
they'll both be murdered. And it's, I mean, I thought it was really good just because of the juxtaposition of being a black woman, even in the 70s,
yeah,
and going back, and she's like, you know, she's pretty butch, like she has short hair, she wears pants, you know, and then she goes back and she gets just, you know, no end of shit, obviously, and like gets whipped, and
right,
just that juxtaposition is really powerful.
Do you know who did the adaptation?
Damien Duffy, I want to say. Look at my Goodreads real quick. Yeah, Damien Duffy, I think, is the... Damien Duffy and John Jennings did the illustrations, I guess. Yeah, it's pretty recent. I think it was like in the last 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got it somewhere if you want to take it. And then the last one is this. It's Ink Blood Sister Scribe. If you're listening, look up this cover. See, what do you guys think? It's like a flowery kind of pink and purple cover with
is that
like
a fountain pen or a tattoo gun attached to a tree?
It's a fountain pen. Okay. Yeah, so that's the ink.
Right.
But the ink is blood. Mm-hmm. So,
where's
and then
the sister?
There's two sisters, and then one of them is a scribe. Yeah. So based on this cover, and it has that this all in kind of the, I don't know, YA-ish font.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based on this cover, do you think I would have liked this book or hated it?
Liked it.
I mean, I guess not liked it.
I thought it was great. It was the first 5-star book, but I was surprised... As you are, because I was not I was expecting it to be like pretty cheesy, pretty young seeming, but it's like really sharp. It's like a fantasy thriller basically. So it's this fantasy world where blood magic exists, and you have to write books in your own blood, and then you read them, and they cast spells, and it's like effective magic, but it's very onerous to do.
Right.
And sometimes the spells cost people their lives because they're powerful enough. And right. Then there's like a family that is in control of all this, and then these two sisters, and I thought the writing was really good. Not in probably not your guys' kind of good writing, but like sharp characters and like a style that as kind of requires just enough from the reader, so where it's like you're being expected to kind of keep up and
right.
Follow subtext and just enough that yeah.
Keep nice. Engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Awesome. Dave, what about you?
I'll save my books for next time and talk about what I'm reading now. I just started a novel called Marlena by Julie Bunton, which was like, it's literary fiction. It was kind of a, you know, buzzy book when it came out, I think in 2017. Seems to be like it's going to be a character study about two friends in Michigan, the protagonist and this kind of like, you know, more carefree character who we learn early on was either beaten or had some kind of accident that led to her drowning in 6 inches of water some years back. And so the protagonist is now in New York. And I just reached this scene where her friend Marlena's brother gets in touch with her. So like, you know, presumably that like unlocks, you know, her memory of it or whatever. And, so that's how it's going to move forward. Well written so far. I'm not sure if I'm going to love it necessarily, but I'm into it so far. But, you know, I'm like 10, 15 pages in. And then up next is a novel called Counterfeit by friend of the podcast, Kirsten Chen.
Oh, yeah.
Any of you guys read this?
Yeah, I read it. Nico did.
I think I read somewhere that maybe sometime last year, this book got picked up for a TV series.
Yep.
I can't remember where or with whom. Amazon, so. Right? But yeah, I'm curious to see. What'd you say, AB?
I think it was Amazon.
Yeah, that's it for me for now.
All right, we're gonna have to do some
rejigger the setup. Excellent. A couple things for me. I read the Comedy Bang Bang book. I got it a while back, but I hadn't gotten around to reading it. I finally read it. It took me like whatever 2 days to read. It's not calling it a book is even. It's just like a coffee table thing. It's just fun. If you like the podcast, it's definitely a fun read. It's very silly, but I really into it. I also read, or I'm starting to read, a book that I've wanted to read for a long time because, like my fellow personal pals, I'm something of an airhead. I don't mean I'm stupid, although I am that too, but we all love Jane Eyre, right?
Oh boy!
Wow! You crafted that bet, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah. We were there for a long
T-shirt
time.
T-shirt incoming.
And so I finally picked up The Wide Sargasso Sea by Gene Reeves, which is the sort of prequel slash sort of like, I don't know what you'd call it. It's not really a, it's like a side novel to Jane Eyre, told from the perspective of the first wife of Rochester, who lives in the upper floor of the mansion and burns it down towards the end.
Spoilers.
What's that?
Spoilers.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're a Jane Eyre. We discussed the podcast.
That was the joke.
So I'm only halfway through so far. It's very slim read, so it's not taking very long at all. But it's great. Really interesting style. The first section is sort of in Barbados, and the perspective character is the young version of the later wife and sort of her dealing with racism and like her own place in the society, in a sort of like a post-slavery society. And then in the end of the first section, spoiler alert again, the mansion burns down. So it does have little, like, little, you know, things in there for Jane Eyre aficionados. So yeah, good read, liking it so far. I'll have more to say about this, I think, when I'm done with it, but really digging it so far. My main thing I want to talk about is I read another Ian Fleming novel in the James Bond series. This one is The Spy Who Loved Me. Huh. This is the fourth one I read now. I really enjoy reading these. I enjoy reading these James Bond novels, but they are fucking weird, right? They're always bizarre. And, like, sometimes the weirdness is, like, his racism, misogyny, obviously.
Yeah.
This time, there is some of that for sure, mostly misogyny. But this one, it starts off with, the preface is from Fleming, and he says, I found this novel on my desk, or this memoir on my desk, and I wanted to share it with you because it's about a character I've written about before, James Bond. So the premise is, like, it's almost like he's doing a Frankenstein thing of, like, you know, I heard this story from a ship captain.
His own weird framing device.
Yeah. And so then, this novel is a 190-page novel, maybe like 200.
What is it called?
The Spy Who Loved Me. Huh. It's very short. The first 100 pages are just about this girl's dating history. And like,
what?
So it's like, it's from it's a first-person narrative of this young woman who's from Canada, and she's found her way to this like motor lodge in New York, but she lived in London for a long time. And it's just like about the guys she dated and like how she lost her virginity and that she like worked in like these various jobs, and like it's all just like for 100 pages. I was like, where's James Bond? Like, I felt like very much these like fireworks factory meme from The Simpsons. And so the first half I was like, this is so weird, and like Fleming's such a fucking nutcase. Like, he just loves, he seems to, more than the action, he seems to love, like, etiquette and manners and, like, social mores, and, like, wants to talk about those more than anything, which is fascinating in its own way. But also, it's like, I did come here for James Bond. Like, I wanted to hear about adventures and stuff. Then it kicks in at the end, and the plot, once James Bond arrives, it is pretty exciting. It was a good story.
Wait, James Bond is not even in it.
He is in it, yes.
But I mean, not until 100 pages in.
Yeah, halfway through.
He's not in the first half.
The first half is just her recollecting her dating experiences and how she lost her virginity and some job she worked at. And it's just like, and then, and also kind of like going back and forth about how she works this motor lodge now because she's making her way across America as a tourist. And she's stopping here to make some money and kind of is in a weird situation. And then something happens. There's a, two guys break in and basically hold her hostage, but then James Bond arrives, and then it becomes kind of a tense thriller from there. And then it ends in a very fucked up way, but it's so weird. It's just,
did he smoke himself to death?
Was that? Yeah.
I remember reading Casino Royale, and he repeatedly talked about how many cigarettes he would smoke, and it was 120 a night.
Yeah, I mean,
six packs.
Yeah, and like just like an inveterate alcoholic. Fleming himself is like a nightmare of a human.
Yeah,
but not a bad writer, just kind of a weirdo. Huh. And his weirdness, it makes these books fascinating.
Yeah,
but also kind of repulsive at the same time, which is I think why I'm compelled to read them.
Yeah.
Well, that's all from us. Listeners, what about you? Let's hear your reading. What's on your stack? You can talk to us through email at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. But you can also talk to us on Patreon, patreon.com/yakbabies, where we have our bonus podcast hosted for $1 a month. You can get access to all our bonus episodes where we are talking about bro-to-bro conversations, where we get into, you know, all the things about being a bro and what is involved with that. There's games. There's a couple different separate podcast series about jokes, there's ghost jokes, and there's pickle jokes, there's a snack tournaments. There's all kinds of fun stuff happening there, and it only costs you a dollar. And then you can also talk to us. There's a message board there. We can ask questions and respond to things and so forth. It's great. And then we do have our merch store, tinyurl.com/jackbabies, where you can get posters and t-shirts and mugs that Brick has designed, all kinds of good inside jokes to baffle your friends and intrigue them. Maybe they'll listen to Yak Babies if you show them your mug of Calvin pissing on...
Hop on there for an Airhead mug soon.
Yeah, there we go. New Airhead designs coming soon. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to thank all the loyal listeners, and especially their patrons, both past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, Kathleen, Bailey, Andrew, Gilbert, and William Howard Taft.